WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program, and welcome into the first day of spring, right? The equinox is it already here? Did it come? I think, didn't it come in the 5 a.m. hour? I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to Christina's weather. I was working on a few things, a few stories that I'm working on pushing out later on this morning. Some news, some just kind of some fun stuff. Which is what we try to do with a combination of all of that here on the program. And, of course, we love to talk to you at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails both open to you on the WBSM app. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to Mayor Mitchell's comments with Chris yesterday during midweek with the mayor. I may later on in the morning, I may play the segment back from where the mayor was discussing the Boston Globe's spotlight report, Snitch City. And there was some very, I was re-listening to it again this morning as I was getting ready, taking a shower. Thank God phones are waterproof now, or, you know, somewhat waterproof. Actually, I saw someone had this thing the other day. It's a case you can put your phone into to take it into the shower. I'm like, that's a little extreme. I don't need to go that far. I keep it, there's a window in my shower, just outside my shower, and I keep it on the windowsill so I can listen to music, listen to WBSM podcasts if I want to rehear something or if I miss something the day before. But anyway, so as I was re-listening this morning, getting ready, I picked up a few more things that I didn't pick up on necessarily when I listened yesterday on the radio. So the mayor, much like in his statement, actually, I would argue that the statement that he put out on social media last week, that felt more to me like he was being dismissive of what was said. I read it as, and I've listened to a lot of Mayor Mitchell over the years. I've had a lot of conversations with Mayor Mitchell over the years. So I think maybe sometimes I have in my mind how he might be saying something. And I think I might have been a little bit off with this one. Because I thought, I took it as he was saying, hey, you know, we'll look into it because we should. But really, there's not going to be anything there because they're talking to fired employees and criminals. And that's who their sources are. But in actuality, in hearing him yesterday, he definitely sounded more concerned about what the allegations are in the Globe series, and said that, and he did say this in a statement too, that they will have not only an internal department review of some of these things, but that they will have Jensen Hughes, the consulting firm that did the comprehensive review of the department, they're going to have that because they're still working with them. They're helping to implement some of the plan that they came up with. And so they're still working with the police department. So now they're going to look into the internal affairs and drug units and look into these claims that this reporting of the Boston Globe spotlight team. He also said that he has directed the department to share everything regarding this and the Globe's communications with them and everything to the FBI so that they can be on the up and up with the FBI. But he said yesterday too, Chris, you know, they do take these allegations very seriously, and they are going to look into them. He wasn't dismissive of them at all. And in fact, you know, he said he was critical of the reporters from the perspective of, you know, they're trying to characterize a city that they don't know. That they're trying to tell people what New Bedford is like when they've not really spent a lot of time here. Which is a fair criticism. But he didn't criticize their reporting. He was characterizing, at least the way that it hit my ears, as, you know, they did the work, they did an investigation, and they obviously had a reason to dive into this. You know, information that they were given that suggested they dive into this, and that they, you know, they vetted that out before they spent all this time and resources on this. What he was critical of is the way that the city itself was characterized and the way that the department overall was characterized. That if you do have some people who were doing some nefarious things while wearing a badge, which, you know, remains to be seen if the accuracy of those allegations. But if you did have people that were doing that, those are probably, you know, bad actors within the department, not characteristic of the department as a whole. But more importantly, overall, he took issue with the idea of it being called Snitch City. Because you're characterizing an entire city of 100,000 people based on the actions of a few individuals for the purposes of having, you know, a cute little podcast title. I don't know how much aware the Boston Globe is of New Bedford's nickname within, I don't even know what community you would say utilizes this nickname. I would say, you know, a younger demographic. But they refer to it for a long time as Secret City. You know, we had that whole thing years ago about snitches get stitches, all of that. Stop snitching, all of that. You know, stop talking to the police. We've gotten away from that, I think, and a lot of residents feel more comfortable bringing their concerns to the police. And that is why you've seen a decline in crimes. That's part of it. Believe the numbers however you want. But, and you know, perhaps that could be Spotlight's next investigation if they want to dive deeper into New Bedford. Take that claim of a 58% drop in violent crime, take that claim and break it down. Get all of the, you know, we don't have the resources to do it. The Standard Times doesn't have the resources to do it. New Bedford Light doesn't have the resources to do it. But take a look at the last 5 years of actual crimes reported as accurately as you can get. You know, go back and get all the police logs that were posted online and compare that with the hierarchy rule numbers. And I know people don't want to hear this and they don't want to believe it, but you're probably still going to see a decline in crime because that's been the national trend. So will it be a dramatic 58% drop? Probably not. But it'll still be less than it was during the stop snitching era. And that's due not only to, you know, 21st century policing in a lot of cases, but also people being more proactive and taking pride in their community and their neighborhood and wanting to eliminate some of that and coming forward with information. But anyway, That's, I think, Snitch City. I don't know how much of that was playing on the Secret City moniker that the city once had. And if it did, it's a little bit more understandable as to why they used it. But if it did, it also begs the question of when was the last time these writers found anything of relevance about New Bedford? Because that reputation was a long time ago. And if that's what you still think the city is, it's not even remotely the same. But the interview, the discussion with Chris yesterday, I thought the mayor was definitely, you know, I could hear the concern and the seriousness in which they were taking the Globe's reporting. They were, as he said multiple times, I don't want to dismiss this out of hand. But he also, my words, wasn't ready to condemn Chief Oliveira and others in the department without having their own investigation into it, without having Jensen Hughes looking into it, and without having a more complete picture, which he promised will be released to the public. So I think you got a little bit more insight into how he was feeling. And he said one thing that he was, I guess, pleased about. I don't know how pleased you are in this whole situation, but was that, you know, this could have been a chance for the city councilors to undercut the mayor. This could have been a chance for the city councilors to, because in the Globe's spotlight series, Mayor Mitchell does not come off looking very good. It's implied that he would have known about these things, these accusations, when he made Paul Oliveira the police chief. And as he said to Chris yesterday, he was not. Or you know, this wasn't something that was a consideration. So the counselors could have thrown the mayor under the bus on this and wisely did not. Instead, they've all chosen not to comment. Now, Council President Burgo chose not to comment to me on Monday because he said he wanted the entire series to be released. And while I understand that position, I also think that that's a little bit unnecessary, because you can comment on what's been released. What's been released was certainly concerning enough. And whatever comes out in the next couple of parts doesn't negate. It's not like they're going to put all this information out in the three written parts, which apparently the written side of it is done. And then, you know, when the next two podcasts come out, the last podcast is going to end with, you know, psych, we made it all up. So the things that are alleged in the first three episodes are going to remain. But also, you know, I can understand, too, if you want to take it in its entirety. Another part of it is, you know, that's the Boston Globe. It's easy for New Bedford to stay united against the Boston reporters coming down trying to disparage the city. But New Bedford Light has an article today in which they did decide to report on what the Globe was reporting on. And they reached out to the counselors, and the counselors did not want to comment. So I think, you know, slowly as the counselors will come on with Chris, most of them. And this will be something where you will hear what they think about it. But it is good to see that unity of, hey, you know, you're not going to come in here and, as the mayor said, disparage our whole city based on the actions of a few. So I think what you'll see now is will have some more attention on the area, some more reporting, I'm sure, that will come as a result of this with the Globe. And then they'll move on to their next project. Now, I've been saying that I reached out to the Spotlight editor and asked to have the writers or him come on and discuss, and I haven't received any kind of response at all. Apparently, they're going on WMUR in Boston to talk about it. So you're going to go on the radio in Boston to talk about it. But you're not going to come on the radio in New Bedford to talk about it. That just shows that you don't want to have any accountability for what it is that you put out there. You want to go to another Boston station, another Boston media outlet where everybody's going to sit around and talk about, oh, yeah, yeah, I can't believe New Bedford, right? Oh, that's why we never go down there. They're getting that train on Monday. Hope they don't bring any of their problems up our way. I think it's disingenuous to go on other media, go on other media appearances to discuss it and blow off New Bedford when you just spent years investigating New Bedford and put out a salacious multi-part series on New Bedford. I'm not one to criticize other journalists. I think most people that listen to the show know that. I've been defending their work, even if I'm not ready to buy it wholesale yet. I've been the person that's been saying, hey, listen, this is the Boston Globe and the Spotlight team. This isn't a bunch of hacks. I don't go to the level of Barry Richard where, he just dismisses the whole thing because he feels the whole way it was presented is flawed and had an agenda and all of that. I don't go that far. The Globe didn't invest all the time and resources that it did if they didn't feel like this was a solid story to go on. And if that's true, and you won't come on in New Bedford to defend that, the only word I can use for that, and I don't like to criticize other journalists, but cowards. Because they're afraid to face the blowback of an entire community that they besmirched over the actions of a few. Now, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they get a ton of emails. Maybe they got a ton of emails related to the story, and they didn't even see my email. But at least give me the courtesy of a reply to say, no thanks, we're not interested. But to not respond at all. And by the way, this isn't just me sending them an email and it getting lost in their inbox. They put out a press release about this series coming out, and I reached out to the company with the press release, the communications company that put it out. And they told me that they weren't going to come on, that they weren't able to come on. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we will have the news with Mike Roberts. All right, it is time now to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts. Take it away, Mike.
Bird flu and measles are on the rise. More and more Americans are concerned about the White House and courts having too much power, and mass deportations continue.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Elon Musk says he's shocked at what he calls, quote, the level of hatred coming from the American left.
I always thought the left, Democrats, were supposed to be the party of empathy, the party of caring.
Musk was addressing the firebombings happening at some of his Tesla dealerships across the U.S. since he started working with the Trump administration. Musk says that Tesla is a peaceful company and he's never done anything wrong. He added that he thinks that there is some sort of, quote, mental illness thing going on. The FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force is investigating some of those Tesla attacks. A United Nations food agency is warning that the continued spread of avian flu is threatening food security around the world. Tammy Trujillo has the details.
The Food and Agriculture Organization is citing the loss of hundreds of millions of poultry worldwide, as well as cow milk. The FAO says the situation requires a coordinated global response. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the U.S. has recorded 70 bird flu outbreaks in 41 cattle herds and on 24 poultry farms. There have been no reported cases of human-to-human transmission. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
An outbreak of measles in West Texas is now up to almost 300 cases. That's roughly the same number of cases that was seen nationally all of last year. Statistics released yesterday by the Department of Health and Human Services show the fastest growth continues to be in communities that have the lowest immunization rates in the state. The White House says the Trump administration's mass deportations will continue. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said they will continue to comply with court orders, but claimed judges are undermining the will of the American public.
The judges in this country are acting erroneously. We have judges who are acting as partisan activists.
A federal judge has given the administration until noon today to provide more information on the timing of deportation flights under the Alien Enemies Act that he ordered to turn around on Saturday. Leavitt said that this is a continuation of the lawfare President Trump faced when he was campaigning. New York's LaGuardia Airport is being recognized as the best airport in the nation by Forbes Travel Guide. Jennifer Polsoni reports.
The Port Authority accepting the Verified Air Travel Award, naming LaGuardia as the country's top airport. It was during a ceremony in its recently completed Terminal C, built and operated by Delta.
What you have here is absolutely magnificent. It is an example for many to follow.
The award was based on a survey of 5,000 hospitality and travel experts. The hub, once known as the nation's worst airport and dubbed like a third world country by a then Vice President Biden, underwent an $8 billion transformation.
It's beautiful.
It was not too long ago that LaGuardia was a laughingstock.
I'm Jennifer Polsoni.
The first trailer is being released for Happy Gilmore 2.
I haven't swung a club in years. I'm a little intimidated. All these guys hit it big now. I don't know where to start.
Come on, brother. Grip it and rip it.
I guess I need to update my happy place to something a little more age appropriate.
The film sees Adam Sandler back in his role as the legendary golfer while dealing with facing the younger stars on the PGA Tour. The rest of the cast includes Julie Bowen, Christopher McDonald, Ben Stiller, Bad Bunny, Travis Kelce, and Sandler's daughters, Sadie and Sunny. There will also be some professional golfers as themselves. Happy Gilmore 2 hits Netflix on July 25th.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins are in Vegas tonight, taking on the Golden Knights at 10. Celtics tip off with the Jazz tomorrow night at 9:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Cloudy today, maybe a scattered shower or two, 51. 43 with clouds tonight, rain tomorrow, 49. Weekend looking okay. Partly sunny, 56 on Saturday, 48 with sunshine on Sunday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Hear a really weird little tidbit of trivia related to the impending release of Happy Gilmore 2. This is something that popped into my head the other day, and I just verified it. But you heard Mike Roberts mention there how there'll be some professional golfers that appear in the film. And looking forward to this, I mean, I find that Adam Sandler kind of mails it in some of these performances in recent years. And, you know, these with these Netflix movies that he makes. And the trailer doesn't make me think any differently. But I think what that is that's just, he's a more, sounds like a weird saying this, but more mature performer. So he doesn't have to be the loud, obnoxious, doobity-doo guy anymore. So I think that's, you know, why it doesn't hit the same. But the Happy Gilmore character wasn't that guy either. He was a very aloof, you know, I don't want to be here. I'm just doing it because I have to kind of guy. Oh, and now you pissed me off. So now I'm going to make you pay. Like, that's who the Happy Gilmore character is. But anyway. Happy Gilmore, the first one, came out. We want to talk about professional golf legends. Came out before Tiger Woods made his professional golf debut. Happy Gilmore, the original film, was released theatrically on February 16th, 1996. I remember going to see it in the movie theater. February 16th, I used to go see all the Adam Sandler films. I think the last one I saw in the theater, though, was Mr. Deeds. So it's and now they're not even in the theaters. They released them right on Netflix, but because he has that mega deal with them. But February 16th, 1996 was the release of Happy Gilmore. Tiger Woods made his professional golf debut August 29th, 1996. In the Greater Milwaukee Open, tying for 60th place. But Tiger Woods has been a golfer for less time than Happy Gilmore. Although Happy Gilmore apparently did stop playing golf, according to the trailer. But, you know, these 90s and 80s revival sequels, so they call them legacy sequels because the time has passed and it's not directly following the events of the first film. So, you know, they call Top Gun Maverick a legacy sequel to Top Gun. They call this a legacy sequel to the original Happy Gilmore. They call Cobra Kai a legacy sequel series to The Karate Kid. There's now another, there's a Karate Kid movie coming out in a couple of months called Karate Kid Legends, in which they bring Daniel LaRusso together with Mr. Han, the character played by Jackie Chan in the reboot of The Karate Kid from a while back. And then kind of tie those two universes together. And there were some discussions about how it's not going to link to Cobra Kai. Now they're saying it might link to Cobra Kai and be part of the greater Miyagi-verse, they call it. But anyway, these legacy sequels have done pretty well. One of the best legacy sequels that I saw was Axel F., the fourth Beverly Hills Cop film that Netflix released last summer. Thought it was a great movie. I mean, is it, you know, Gone with the Wind? No, but was it fun to watch on a weekend in the summertime? Yeah. And if they're going to give us one of these legacy sequels every summer to be like their big tentpole film release, I'm all for it. I'm not somebody that gets worked up about, oh, they have to leave that alone. Whatever. Let's see what happens. If it's good, it's good. If it's not, oh well. I watch a lot of movies that are bad. I haven't watched the remake of The Crow yet, but I heard a lot of bad things. I'll still watch it eventually. I just haven't had time yet because whatever. It's 2 hours out of my life. I like movies anyway. Last night I watched a movie that's a Max original, just been released recently, called The Parenting. And it was weird and goofy, but it was fun. And I had a long day at work. Didn't get home until about 8 o'clock last night. Sat down and said, I just want to watch something kind of mindless and have fun before I go to bed. And it was perfect. You know, not everything has to be serious. Not everything has to be an Oscar contender. I don't think Happy Gilmore 2 will be an Oscar contender. It's okay just to have some fun and for 90 minutes, a little bit of nostalgia. So I'm looking forward to it. I will watch it. I don't know that I'll be, you know, quoting it as much as I quote the original. And actually, that's probably one of the least quotable of Adam Sandler's early movies. It's got its good lines, but it's not as many as Billy Madison or Big Daddy. Or even The Wedding Singer, but it's got its share. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here, and we'll be back in just a bit. Back in 508-996-0500 app chat and open line voicemails available to you on the WBSM app. And I know I've been telling you, I've been mentioning it throughout the course of the week that we're going to have a special guest joining us next week. Pretty excited for this conversation because on Tuesday, we're going to have Matthew Gilbert, former television critic for the Boston Globe. See, there's one Boston Globe writer that will return my emails, Spotlight Team. I just sent them another one during the 6:30 news break. But he's going to join us next week, next Tuesday, to discuss his upcoming appearance at UMass Dartmouth and to just talk a little TV with us. We'll talk about the era of prestige TV when The Sopranos and The Wire and Breaking Bad were all vying for best show of all time. And that's going to be a fun discussion. Then on April 2nd will be Dawn Barclay. She's the author of Vacations Can Be Murder, a true crime lover's travel guide to New England. So that'll be a very interesting discussion as well as we talk about. And she sent me an advanced digital copy of the book, and I've been looking through it, and it is a travel guide. It's like, hey, when you're out here, go and hit this place, and this place. So those of you who are super into true crime can plan your entire, you know, vacation time for the rest of the year around where you're going to go for some of these. Probably for the next 10 years with the amount of information that is in this book. So it's going to be a lot of fun, very interesting, some of these conversations. And of course, we're always working to bring you fun topics and things to discuss here on the program. And in fact, tomorrow will be Fun Friday. Don't quite know what we're going to discuss yet. I'm open to ideas if you want to send me your thoughts on app chat on the WBSM app or shoot me an email, tim@wbsm.com. But I kind of look at what we've discussed during the course of the week and, you know, what's coming up in the next week and then ask the questions that way. Maybe it'll be TV related in advance of Matthew Gilbert's appearance on Tuesday. Also, we are still, you know, it's still up in the air. But a week from this Saturday should be the return of Ken Pittman to the Ken Pittman Show. That's his targeting. That's the date he's targeting to come back from his injuries. And he will share it all with you when he comes back. And then coming up in April, once all the technical things are put together, which I'm working on getting it all done now. We will have the debut of the Paul Santo Show Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 before the Ken Pittman Show. And then Brian's Beat moving from the morning spot to 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And it'll go from 2 hours to 3 hours. So you'll get even more Brian. As he says, you know, he's the guy that tried to retire and now we've got him on 5 nights a week. And an extra hour on Saturdays. And don't let him fool you. I know he keeps coming on here and saying we're making him work. He asked for this. And he deserves it. So I'm glad we can make it happen and give you another local program on Saturdays. And then we'll have the best of Howie whenever we need it, but we won't have to run it on a regular basis. So that way there, you'll get some more local talk, live talk happening during those hours. 508-996-0500. I was also taking a look yesterday as I'm working on a couple of different stories that hopefully I will have done today. There was a few calls I had to make on some of them. And we were talking a lot about the train and how that's going to be something that people will utilize on the weekends. And I was making a phone call to somebody for a story, and they said, oh, yeah, we were just kind of talking about the station back and forth. And they said, oh, yeah, I love the fact that, you know, you guys have live programming on Saturdays when everybody else is just running, you know, syndicated stuff. And we were, I was like, oh, yeah, you're home on Saturday. No, I'm usually busy on Saturdays. I'm going to Boston on Saturdays for my second job. Oh, what do you do for your second job? I work in an office, but I don't work in the office. I'm an independent contractor that comes in and kind of does some oversight work of what they've done, kind of, what do you call it? An audit was the word that he used. And so he goes in when nobody else is around. He kind of looks over the work of the week, see if anything was missed, and then puts it on the agenda for the people to do the next week. And he listens on the WBSM app the whole time. He's like, the only thing I'm concerned about is, you know, I won't be able to hear it on the app as I'm going up because, you know, the signal will be in and out. I'm like, no, they have Wi-Fi. So when you got somebody that's probably listening on their phone on the WBSM app, hopefully he brings headphones, but he might be that guy on the train. You might already have to deal with that on the first weekend train because he said he's going to start utilizing that to get to Boston on Saturdays. Let's take a quick call here before I got to go to my final break of the hour. Good morning. You're on WBSM. Would you rather hang on for, because I got a 3-minute break I got to take here. Would you rather hang on for after the news?
This is only a 1-minute call anyway because I'm on my way out to my primary.
Okay.
Yeah, had that appointment and I'll be set for a good 3 months after that unless you found something in my blood. I highly doubt it because I've been feeling pretty good, but you never know, huh?
Yeah, you can get surprised by things.
I'm anxious to get in there and anxious to get out so I can plan the next 3 months without having to run over there. So nobody won the Powerball last night again, so it was up to $444 million. So now I might go and get one or two tickets maybe because it's coming up fast with the Mega Million, my favorite game. It's going to be $5. And there's no way I don't think I'm going to be doing that. So I have to stop. That's going to cure me instantly because I count the dollars. I count the change.
Well, let me ask you this. If you won the this week's jackpot, would you still continue to play?
Maybe here and there. But what are the chances of winning again? It's hard to win.
I know a guy that won $1 million 2 times.
Really?
But yeah, like within a month of each other.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy. He won on a ticket, on like one of the numbers games. And then he bought a scratch ticket. I think it was like 3 weeks later, he bought a scratch ticket and won another million.
Isn't that odd how things happen, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And yet schmucks like you and me get nothing, not even $10. Well, I have won $10. I can't say I have it. I won $10. A couple of times I've won $100. That we're talking about a 15 to a 20-year time span. That's very little money to win compared to what we put in all these years. Yeah, so it's coming close to the end for the Mega Million for me, but I'm not going to say that maybe once in a year I might say, oh, let me just get one, and that's the $5 gone right there. So I'm not going to complain about that one time. So have a good day. I hope everything's good for you. Enjoy your sandwiches. Watch out for the hot dogs. They're really loaded with the sodium. You know, I just wanted to get a call in even though I'm in a hurry.
Well, I hope everything goes well with your appointment, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Have a good day.
News. Well, all right. We're going to take a break for the final break of the hour, and then we'll have the news and then more with you on the other side. All right. We're going to go into the